My God, you can be seated in this place. Listen, God told me to tell the people this morning. He told me to tell you this morning that it has to move. He told me to tell you this morning that it has to move. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. He told me to tell you this morning that it has to move. It has to move. It has to move. When we look at the text in Matthew and 17, and this isn't my notes, but when we look in the text in Matthew 17, the disciples came to Jesus with an issue because something wasn't moving, something wasn't shifting, something wasn't changing. They did not have the ability to cast something out. So therefore, there was a lack of movement in what they were trying to do. But God told me to declare to the people today that it has to move. Jesus answered them. And then when they asked him, God, why isn't this moving? Why isn't this shaking? Why isn't this thing shifting? Why isn't this thing being cast out? And he said to them, it was because of your unbelief. But I'm telling you right now that the unbelief that had you for one season is being shaken off in this moment right now. And we're moving into a time. It has to move. It has to move. For verily, I say unto you, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. Now pay attention. When the text says you shall say, you got to really look and dig into why it's worded that way. I need you to really pay attention, because if you have the size of a grain of mustard seed, that's not a mustard seed. That is a mustard seed that is broken down into granules. Y'all got to hear me. And then you take a speck or a grain of that seed that was broken down, and if you have faith this much, it would cause you to say something. This is not telling you about your ability. It didn't say that you're able to say something, but it's saying that when you have that level of faith, it causes you to release something and to speak to those things that have to move. And so some of you have been really quiet in this season because you looked at past defeats. You looked at all those things that came against you in the past season, and so it caused you to be quiet. But when that faith starts to arise in you, just the size of a grain of mustard seed, it will propel you to say some things and cause you to say some things. It causes you to command things to happen. Why? Because faith of that size has already come in an agreement with what God has already determined to move. There's some things in your life that God has already determined to shift. It's the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed that agrees with him that causes you to tell every mountain to get out of the way. This ain't my sermon. Pay attention. But it tells you to tell every mountain to get out of the way. It's because of the agreement. Okay, I see what you're doing, Holy Spirit. God's love, listen to me, his providence and his promises are not conditional. When he said it, he will do it. When he spoke it, it's coming to pass. Every word that he sent will not return back to him void. It will accomplish the thing. And so we're coming into a place where the word of God shall accomplish. We're coming to the realization and the manifestation of what was spoken over you, coming to accomplish what the Father has said. And so now that we're in that time and we understand that it's not condition, we have to understand also that however God will sometimes put conditions on you. And my perspective of this is it's not really conditions, but he will draw you into a place that are these prerequisite opportunities. It's these prerequisite opportunities of your participation. And so God is drawing his people into participation. Watch this. He's drawing us into participation. And that's why he uses the word if. If is not a condition. It's an invitation. If it's not a condition, it's an invitation to you. I'm inviting you into something. If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, if my people would turn from their wicked ways, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, it's not conditional. It's how I draw you into identity. I'm drawing you into the truth of my word because you've been surrounded by something that's contrary than what I said. You've been in conditions and in places that's contrary to what I've been speaking over your life. And so now with this invitation, I'm inviting you into a place. How do I know? This is why the word says that he himself would do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in you. He does the abundant. He does the above. He does the exceeding, but it's according to a power that works in you. Now, let me bring this full circle, because you have to understand something about power. Power is this. Power, all power belongs to God. And so if it's according to something, if it's according to the power that works in you, and all power belongs to God, then it's according to something that he delivered to you in the first place. It's his way of bringing you into what he is doing, and it is his grace that would allow his power to work in you in a way where you can partner with him in what he's doing. Don't touch your neighbor. I want you to talk directly to the Father and say, God, I want to partner with you. 2025, I want to partner with you, God. God, I want to participate with what you're doing in the earth. It's my desire to partner with exactly what you're in the fullness of what you called me to, in the fullness of what your sound has beckoned me into, and what you're drawing me into. I want to partner with you. I want to participate with you. My God. My God, who want to partner with the Lord? This is the season where we partner with him. He's drawing us into a place of realizing who we are as a church and as a body of Christ. My Lord, we're going to partner with you. We're going to partner with you, God, my Jesus. And so Luke chapter 1, the Lord sent me to speak to, we're going to get to the message now. Can we get to the message? My God. The Lord told me to title this message, There Will Be a Performance. There will be a performance. But we have to get to a place of understanding what kind of performance this is going to be. Because this isn't a show. And some of it's going to look like God's putting on a show for you, but this isn't a show. But we got to understand what this performance is. And so Luke 1, and we'll go to verse 36. We're going to start in verse 36. I'm reading in the KJV, but stay with me. This text is so rich to me. It's almost as if I can preach every word of it. It's like I'll go and I'll preach on and. Like it's that rich to me right now, my God. So bear with me this morning. Verse 36, and it says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. There's some of you under the sound of my voice that don't even have the recognition that you're in your third trimester. You still operating like your name is barren. But the text said her name was barren. She was called barren. It was, but now she's 6 months into a process. She's in the third trimester of birthing something. She's 6 months in the process. She just moved into the last phase of birthing something new. And so God said that he's bringing you into this place of birthing. But watch, I love how the text says, because the news is coming to Mary, but it says that her cousin, she hath also conceived. And so while I have a recognition of what God is birthing out of me in this season, I have a celebration in me, because it's also your time to conceive. There's also connected to what God's birthing in you. And so the angel was speaking to Mary about what she was bringing into the earth, but good news came as a salutation to say, also your cousin shall birth too. She's already conceived as well. And so we're coming into this place, and this is it. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Uh-huh. It's going to catch. It's nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And so now there's a was. They used to make fun of her. They used to watch her serving in the temple, faithful, but not able to produce something of her own kind. They looked at her while she was serving with her husband in the temple. And the Bible declares how faithful they were and how they were without fault and how they walked in perfection before the Lord. All these things. And she had all this on her, but they would mock her because she was barren. There's been a season of people mocking your barrenness, but your name was barren. Your name was barren. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So before she ever saluted Elizabeth, she got word from the Lord about Elizabeth already conceiving, and that her name was barren, or she was called barren. She was once called barren, but now she is conceiving. Watch this. The word of the Lord came to Mary, and the first thing she did, she came in agreement with the word. I'm about to take y'all somewhere. Stay with me. The first thing she did, she came in agreement with the word. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And see, a lot of us are in situations right now that are contrary to the word, but our confession needs to be, "God, be it unto me according to thy word." What the better word that you've spoken unto over me, Lord God, be it unto me according to your word. Now I'm in this place of agreement. Watch what the agreement did. Verse 39 says, and Mary arose. And so after she come into agreement with the word, her posture changed and she arose. Now her posture changes. And so it went from agreement to now being able to stand. It went from agreement to elevation, from agreement to rising, from agreement to a place where now you are higher, you are standing different, you're looking different. And Mary arose. And so in those days and went to the hill country. The hill country, stay with me, represents places of worship. This is where they would worship. This is where altars would be put. This is where these are where high places would be established. The hill country represented places of worship. Now watch. And went into the hill country with haste. And so she moved into those places of worship with haste so that she can enter into a city of praise. Then entered a house, the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. Watch this. The hill country did not only represent holy worship. There was altars. There were contrary worship in those hills. There were altars of false gods in those hills. There was a different kind of worship allowed in those hills. And now where something may be built for the Lord God, something may be holy for the Lord God in those hills as well. But that kind of worship in those hills was not only secluded to the worship that was meant for our Lord, that was meant for our God. And so what you have to understand is that once Mary came into agreement with the word, that she changed her posture, and then she made haste through the opposition that would try to hinder her praise. She came in agreement with the word. And so now she's not trying to avoid the opposition. Now she's not so fearful of what's been opposing her in the previous seasons. Now she's not so scared of the word that came about male children from Herod. Now she's not so concerned about that. There's something in her when she arose that made her face the opposition and make haste to charge through it to get to her place of praise. This is the interesting thing. Once she got to praise, once she entered the city of Judah, she entered the house of Zacharias. Zacharias' name means Yahweh remembers. Some of you have been asking, God, I just need you to remember me. I need you to remember what you said to me. I need you to remember. But can I tell you something, y'all? It's in your praise. You got to get to that place of praise. You got to persevere through every opposition, every spiritual opposition that has exalted itself up against God, and press into your place of praise so that you get to the place where he remembers. That's why something's been coming against your clap. That's why something's been coming against your shout. That's why something's been coming against your dance and coming against your declarations of faith. That's why it's been hard. That's why it's been hindered. That's why it's felt held back, because there was an opposition in the hills that has been trying to stop you from getting to that place of praise. And then she saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth is really important in this story, because you have to understand, when you read the whole chapter, when it talked about Elizabeth and it talked about how honorable she was, and it spoke the same thing about her husband, who was a priest, who worked the priesthood, who did the incense in the house of the Lord, her husband. But when it talked about Elizabeth, it said that she was of the bloodline of Aaron. Yes, the same Aaron that walked with Moses, the same Aaron that established the priesthood. And so this whole disposition of Elizabeth is so important, because there was a declaration in the earth at this time that the priesthood would no longer be barren. My God. It was a declaration in the earth for her to be the one who was called barren. The priesthood was called barren. There was idolatry in the land. The priesthood was called barren. It wasn't birthing true daughters and sons. It wasn't birthing those who were waiting on the coming of the true Messiah and the Lord. They were looking after their own ways. The religious systems had their own governmental structure. The religion systems were trying to climb these hills and these mountains. They weren't trying to dismantle the altars that were on them. They were looking for their way to integrate with something that was foreign and not of God. And so this is what the time that we were in. And so God came into a place and said, I put a baby in the line of Aaron to establish that the priesthood would no longer be barren. And so now purity can come out of my house. We birthing something. Come on, church, we birthing something. Something's about to, I see the head of it crowning. Something is coming into the earth that we have not seen yet before. Something is coming from the church and the body of Christ. Have you felt the shift that happened? Something shifted. Y'all was worried about elections. Y'all was worried about drama. Y'all was worried about who got exposed in the pulpit. But I'm telling you, something shifted in the earth, and it's making way for the church to no longer be barren. And it came to pass, verse 41, my God, and it came to pass, I tell you, I preach every word in this thing. I'm trying to move forward. Jesus. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, this is it right here. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. It came that once she heard the salutation, the greeting of the presence of the word, the babe leaped in her womb, and then Elizabeth in that moment was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost before Pentecost ever happened. She was filled with the Holy Ghost before Jesus ever declared, "I'm leaving a comforter." She was filled with the Holy Ghost before Peter ever said, "This is that." The Lord told me to declare over the people today that many of you in this room are going from being barren to not only birthing something, but not only birthing the vision and the promise that God placed in you, but you're bringing forth your future into your now. It's something when the Holy, see, there was an announcement of the Holy Ghost coming when Jesus declared it. But there's something when the Holy Ghost fills you without announcement. There's a suddenly in the spirit that's coming and bringing your future into your now. And so God designated this time for something to be birthed out of you in the now that would take years to build. You're going to see it. 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 If you just have enough faith to grab a hold of that right there, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. You bet. Okay. It's coming into your now. It would take years to build, but it's coming into your now. What I'm saying is what God promised you is about to interrupt what you thought was going on. What you thought your next day was going to look like is going to be interrupted. And your future is coming into your now. He is filling you with something in the now that was designated for a generation later. Listen to me. God just puts you ahead of time. I'm not making this stuff up. God just puts you ahead of time. He puts something in you that is ahead of time, and it's this kairos that is bringing, listen to me, nothing was wasted that you went through. The potter formed and used everything that you, every process, every wrestle, every match that you had. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle, baby. And every match that you had in these previous seasons, God didn't waste any moment. He didn't waste anything. And so he's bringing those inbirthings that came from what you went through. See, you didn't know. You just looked at the situation, but you didn't know something was, it's called an inbirthing. There's an inbirthing that happens in the spirit. It starts to birth internally. Oh, my God. And that's why the book of Revelation talks about that they birthed a full-grown man, because there was an inbirthing. The church birthed a full-grown man because there was an inbirthing that happened, and the development happened internally. And so what God is doing now, because he disrupted time and he redeems time, he's bringing forth something that's fully grown and mature. That's why it's not going to look like what you would have to build from scratch. It's going to look differently because he's bringing forth something, a full-grown man, something that is fully mature, something that has fully developed in your process and in your pain. It's Kairos bringing forth the inbirth things that establishes your future into your now. And so there's innovations, there's ideas, there's plans that are so ahead of you, but it's deposited in your now. There should be a leaping happening all over this room. This is why the baby leaped, because there was a word over me that I would be filled with the Holy Ghost from birth. That's what they said about John the Baptist. That's who it was in Elizabeth, that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost from birth. Before there was a this is that, before I'm going to leave you a comforter, before that promise came out of the mouth of Jesus, I'm telling you, there was already a declaration that he would be filled with the Spirit of God at his time of birth. As soon as the salutation and she heard the greeting from Mary, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and she was no longer barren. And so now what was barren was carrying purpose and destiny, but it was also carrying the Spirit of the Most High God. It was a little over 33 years and about 50 days before Pentecost hit that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Catch this. It's about 33 years and 50 days that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost before Pentecost. So I like to study a little bit, and I began to look at 33 in Hebrew gematria, because every Hebrew letter has a representation of a number, and every number and letter have a representation of a pictograph. And in my studies, I looked at the word amen, and it came to the total of 33. The word amen was totaled out in 33 when you look at it in Hebrew. The word amen was totaled out to 33 and so now here is Elizabeth. I'm about to show you the power of your agreement when you agree with God. I'm about to show you how it shifts time and space when you just agree with God, how it causes the barren thing to give birth, how it causes the lost time to be redeemed when you just agree with God. We're about to show you the power of agreement. And so it was 33 years and 50 days before Pentecost ever happened that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The 33 means amen. Amen means so be it or truly. It is an acknowledgement, so be it or truly. Catch this. It is an acknowledgement of agreement to that which is true and a declaration that it must be. So because she was filled with the Holy Ghost 33 years before Pentecost, then Pentecost must be. It must be. We got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It has to become available for us because something happened that preceded time that established its coming. What was in her belly was to prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus. It prepared the way of the Lord. And so the Holy Ghost had to be established in him and in her to establish what was going to be released to us. So when Jesus was in Mary's belly and Mary came and met with Elizabeth, it was the word, catch this, when Jesus was in Mary's belly, and Mary came and met with Elizabeth, it was the word coming in contact with the fulfillment of something already spoken. It was a better word encountering the fulfillment of what he said. Jesus is the word spoken that changed her name, or what she was called, from barren back to Elizabeth. It was an invitation, her agreement. She came in agreement with the invitation. She said yes to the invitation. An invitation happened that she would receive the word. The word activated in her life and it removed the barrenness from her. The baby leaped because it came in close proximity to the word that got him here. Her name was barren, but the word in Mary was the reason why there was a baby in there. I could see the baby in Elizabeth's belly proclaiming, once it leaped, I could see it leaping in his mother's belly saying, you're the reason. You are the reason. You're the reason while I'm here. There was a leaping. There was an anticipation because now I'm in contact with the reason. You are the reason. You're the reason why I'm here. You're the reason. You're the reason. And somebody needs to acknowledge he is the reason this morning. The reason you did not die. The reason you did not give up. The reason your addiction broke. The reason you may not have it all together, but you met the reason. You met the reason. You met the reason. You met the reason. And that acknowledgement brings about a level of praise in us that we can be satisfied in any situation, whether it be suffering, whether it be hardship, whether it be joy, whether it be the fulfillment of a promise or a long-awaited thing. We are still satisfied in God because we met the reason. And we shouldn't have made it this far by normal standards, by statistical values. A lot of the men in here, you shouldn't have made it. Your relationship with your father said you should have been something else. Your relationship with your friends and all the places that you've been and all the mistakes that you made statistically would declare that you would be somewhere else other than in this room. And some of the women and the hardships and the heartbreak that you went through, that but you still are here in this moment, and I'm telling you, there is a reason. Sometimes I got to give you time to release a sound that doesn't come from cheerleading. There's an acknowledgement of agreement that comes from your belly. Verse 44. We're going to skip to 44. It says, for lo, as soon as this is what I want for you today, and this is why I'm here, that in each moment that I'm releasing prophetically to you, in each moment that the word is going before you, as soon as you hear it, there is an agreement. As soon as the salutation hits your ears, there is a leaping in your womb for joy. No more delay. What if the delay was only strengthened by your disagreement? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Yeah, whoever get it, you're going to get it. Come on. But I've already prayed for you, so you're going to receive this. Listen, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance. Do I got to preach it? Okay, I understand what it is. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And I need you to start gathering what was told to you from God and grab a hold of it. You got to grab a hold of this thing and not let it go. Do you understand? There was a man who wrestled with God until his hip got disjointed, but he said, I'm not letting go of your word. I'm not letting go of the word until you bless me, until it changed, until it shift. I can't let go. And so there shall be a performance. But he didn't leave the men out. I know a lot of people read that scripture and be like, well, say she. But he didn't leave the men out. Romans 4 and 20, it starts like this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. There will be a performance. There will be a performance. Come on, begin to lift up your faith in this place. There will be a performance. 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 There will be a declaration of the truth of what God said in your life. There will be a performance. And so let me speak to your faith, because what you have to understand about faith faith. And what you have to understand about the position that many of us are in and have been in is whenever you are in a place where God would cause you to step out in faith. And I'm talking about the faith where it doesn't make any sense. I'm talking about when he's calling you to a place where feet always are going to fail. Statistically, mentally, rationally, nothing that you can do can cause something to happen other than failure, other than succumbing to what's been opposing you. But when God calls you to a place like that, when he gives you instructions but doesn't tell you the whole story and you still got to move, when God brings you into a place like that, I'm telling you, it is the best place that you could ever be. It is the best place that you can ever be, because when God calls you to step into that kind of faith, then it is his performance that has to take precedence for your outcomes. Don't despise when God brings you to a place where you can't get it done, where you don't have enough strength, where you don't have enough mental fortitude. Don't despise that place where all you got is belief and faith. Stand and stand there for. You got to stand right in that place. Don't despise that place. Don't despise the place that calls you to say, if God don't do it, don't despise that place. That's the right place. That's the right place. When God tells you to leave Egypt and you go out and you end up in the wilderness, and then the people who let you leave start pursuing you and they want to kill you. And then in front of you, there's a sea in front of you and you don't know how to swim, and you got camels and you got babies and you got kids and you got all this stuff. And the word of the Lord just comes and says, stand still and see. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He told you to move, and out of your obedience, he's going to call something to move. Now we are in a place where it has to be the performance of God to bring the church into its rightful place. That speaks to you as an individual, but let me talk to the church for a second. Your programs, your plans, your business models, that's not what's going to bring this glory. Do you understand me? Your personality, what you've deemed important, your coffee shop, I don't care how good that coffee is in there, that's not what's going to usher in this glory if God gonna do it. Mm-hmm. But there will be a performance. We are about to see the glory of God like never before. We are about to see the glory of God like never before. There will be a performance. There will be a performance. And so the Lord told me, coming into this year, listen, I guess this would be the New Year's message, 5785. I already started my New Year's in September. But this is the new year, 2025. And so the number five is very important. The decade is important too, because we're in the 80th decade, 5785. This is the decade of your mouth. That's why agreement is so important. What comes out of your mouth, better agree with God in this season, because the enemy has legal access to disrupt everything that doesn't agree with him. And so when you're speaking, the enemy is saying, see what they said? See what they said? This is the decade of the mouth. I have a right to disrupt destiny and purpose. But when you declare and you speak in agreement with God, it has to move. This is the decade of the mouth. But the number five is very important. And so we're entering in this time, and many of you understand that the number five is represented in it and represents grace. A lot of things, it represents grace. And we hear about grace a lot, and it's the grace of God. The Lord told me to tell you, though, that today that you have to understand that that grace has to be, it has to be combined with gratitude. There has to be a gratitude where you are right now to enter into that disposition of grace. You're entering in the key with a key called gratitude. There is a gratitude that is mixing with the grace. But the number five is really important, not just because of the grace that's being released for us to go forward and to move forward in purpose. Not just for the grace for us to move forward into a promised land that we've been circling around for I don't know how long. Some of you, I can tell you how long for me. But we've been circling around this promised land. praying and we've been seeing it and we've been acknowledging it and we've been believing on it, but we haven't been able to yet enter in. And so people have called us barren. And yeah, you called me barren, but wait, you about to see something. You didn't know that I'm about to birth something just because I'm not showing. I've been working out, so I'm not showing right now. And so you think that I'm still barren, but I'm not. That's already changed. That's already shifted. But the number five is really important, not just because of the grace, but it's also important because of the fifth letter. This is what the Lord brought me to, the fifth letter in the Hebrew language, which is the word hey. H-E-I, H-E-Y. They spell it different ways, but it is the word hey. It is the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it is the hey, and it represents the breath of God. It is his air, and it is his spirit that it represents. And so God is saying, this is the time where it is my breath, it is my spirit that is going to move you into a place. It is his breath. Pay attention to this. This is what causes the name change. It was his spirit. She was pregnant and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so it's his spirit that causes the name change. We went from barren to now being able to conceive. We went from barren to conceiving. It caused it a shift in the whole makeup. It took a form of clay. He breathed into the clay and now we have man. Understand what I'm saying? His breath makes all the difference. His breath is the very thing that turns a Sarah to a Sarah. It's the very thing that changed Abram's name to Abraham. This is the breath of God. That H denotes his breath being deposited in there. And so Abraham and Sarah are told to go in a specific direction, and out of obedience and because of faith. They said he was a hero of faith because God said head east and he just went. He just went where God was telling him, but he didn't know where he was going. And so it was the obedience and the faith that was expressed that brought about a name change and the breath of God to enter him. Listen, your obedience is your access to his breath. This is another thing that's important. God is bringing you into his performance. When he breathes in you, it changes your name. It's him confirming his intentions. It was a confirmation of promise. And so when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was a confirmation of the promise. God is bringing you into his performance. And the Lord said, particularly in this service, he said, the reason why I'm bringing you in, it was because of your integrity and your suffering. You kept that integrity in opposition. Integrity when they tried to kill you. Integrity when they talked about you. It was because you believed that your God would come through for you. And so it was because of your integrity in that place where you did not faint. Though you would have fainted lest you believed. And so now there was this separation from unbelief in the midst of storms and trials. There was an integrity to stand firm on the word of God. And God say, I'm establishing for you now because of that integrity. And so now we move into a place because that integrity and the breath of God establishes that gratitude that I was talking about in us. It is this time in your life where it's the utmost importance to express gratitude to God. And I'm closing up. As you are transitioning to promise, you cannot let anything stop you from getting to Judah. You have to press through the hills. You have to do whatever you have to do to get to that place of praise and praise out of a place of gratitude. It is one of the avenues. Why is praise so important? Why is it so important to get back to Judah? You have to get to that city. I'm telling you, you have to get to that city. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what you have to press through to get there, but you have to get to that city of praise. You have to, because praise is one of the avenues that God has used for you to be able to reciprocate himself back to him. And so now it's his breath in your lungs. And so you pour out your praise. You pour out your praise. And so God's looking for reciprocation from his people. He's looking to receive from you, but he's looking to receive from you. It's according to the power that works in you. And so that praise is the acknowledgement of the power that was placed in me. I can return it back to you. And so, Lord, this is why we say, God, we give you glory. It's not because you don't have any glory to give. We say, God, we give you glory, but you act like you don't have a glory in you. Get the glory, God. We give it to you. With every breath that we breathe, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And so this gratitude causes you to the manna. You have a thankfulness for all of the provision that was in the wilderness, but it doesn't compare. You know it doesn't compare to the promise that's before you, but you have such a gratitude in you. Lord God, thank you for everything that allowed me to survive the winter, the wilderness. Thank you, God, for everything that sustained me. And so when you believe for God's performance, you know that the current condition, it pales in comparison to what God is about to perform. And so the spies went over there into the promised land, and about 10 of them had a negative report. But two of them didn't care about the giants that were in the land because they were ready for honey. They didn't care about those giants. I need that honey. I don't care about crawling beasts. I don't care about Nephilim. I don't care about creeping creatures. I saw those grapes over it. I want my grapes. Caleb said, give me my mountain. I don't care what they built on those mountains. That's my mountain. Care about no giants. And so I won't complain. I won't have disdain for the provisions of the past place, but it's a motivation for me to receive everything that God has for me. And a giant can't get my mind off of what God has for me. Listen to this generationally. When you look at the book of Ezra, and this is it, you can stand up over your feet in this place. But when you look at the book of Ezra, there were two tribes, the same thing, two tribes. One of the tribes was even the same tribe that had a good report. It was two tribes when you look at Ezra, where they were making an exodus, another exodus, but they were coming out of Babylon, and they were going to rebuild for the Lord. There was two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were the two tribes that wanted to come out of Babylon and rebuild for the Lord. But there were 10 tribes that said, there's 10 tribes that were comfortable in Babylon. And at the time of release, they stayed initially until they saw the structures being reformed. There is a remnant within a remnant that God is looking to God for a performance. Listen, we've all been through things that's challenged our faith, or challenged our devotion. Listen to me. Some of you have dealt with lack. Some of you have dealt with denials. Some of you have dealt with not having enough. But some of you have had enough. Some of you had comfort, and your devotion has been challenged. But whatever it is, it's been a challenge. There's been a warring of trying to get closer to God and approach God and to see him in a new way and to know him and to love him and to be embraced by. Like, there's been this challenge. I don't care what side of the road you've been on, but there's been a challenge in your relationship. And so I'm not getting your heart fixated on the things and the materialism. I'm telling you that this is an open door for a deeper relationship and for the power of God to flow through his people. There's a remnant within the remnant that's looking for a performance. And there will be a performance. And I hear the Lord saying, the time cometh and now is. I need you to catch this by faith. I need you to put your belief in the now. I need you to put your faith in the now of this thing. Because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Catch that by the spirit. What that which is coming is now. That which is coming is now. It's now.